endure, to walk each day, day after day, till the rest of our life is over. Could be short for some of us, could be long for some of us. You never know. Could be today the Lord comes. You never know. And so you walk by faith, you live by faith, you think about God and who He is. And that's what the Bible says is eternal life, is to know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. It's all about coming to know God. And I would suggest to you that if this is the only place that you come to know God, you're missing out on knowing God. You don't really know God if this is the only time you get fed with the Word of God. You need to feed on the Word of God. You need to see God in the Scriptures. You need to read who He is. And you need to fill yourself up with Him, because God said in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." I'm telling you, brethren, it wasn't that they didn't know. It wasn't that they didn't have the Word. It was that they didn't read or learn or feed, or they didn't meditate upon the Word like David talks about. Even in the night, reading God's Word, learning more about God, seeing God more clearly. And when you do that, you get filled up with God and it changes you and you have greater faith. And faith is what saves you. Faith is the only thing that will save you. In other words, I'm sure there are lots of other things we could talk about that save us. Yes, the blood of Christ and so on, baptism. But in the end, we are saved by God's grace through our faith. We have to endure. We have to get to the end. And sometimes it's a hard walk. Sometimes life throws a lot of stuff at us, makes it difficult for us. But in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25, I want you to focus in on this passage with me this morning and consider that the yoke of the Lord is easy. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. "At that time, Jesus answered and said, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes.'" Just to pause there for a moment. He's talking about the humble. We have to humble ourselves before God. We have to remember that He exists, that He's the Creator, that He's holy, that He's of great majesty and great power and great wrath. We have to remember all those things about Him and humble ourselves before Him. Otherwise, we don't really pay much attention to Him. And so Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, that you've revealed these things to babes," meaning babes in the sense of pure, humble, ready to receive. "Even so, Father," Jesus went on to say, "for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal Him." The Son reveals the Father. The Son knows the Father. He's with the Father in creation. He's with the Father in eternity. The Son is the Word of God who dwelt with God from eternity. He knows the Father. He and the Father are one. He said to Philip in John 14, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." And so Jesus says, "I'm revealing to you the Father." And you have to be a babe. You have to be humble. You have to be pure. You have to receive what I'm revealing to you. And then he goes on to say in verse 28, the great invitation of the Lord, "Come to me. Come to me." Why? "Because I will reveal to you the Father." "Come to me," he says, "all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know what? That's every one of us. "Come to me, all you who are weary or who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You young people may not recognize this quite yet, but you will soon, sooner than you would like to. that life can be wearying. Life has its deep struggles and difficulties. Come to me, Jesus said, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then he said in verse 29, take my yoke upon you. And that means, it's a figure of speech that means put this around your neck, this ring around your neck, this yoke, and let me guide you. And that's why he goes on to say, and learn from me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Ultimately, that's what Jesus wants for us, is rest for our souls. Not only, though, in eternity, but also here now. We can have rest for our souls through Jesus. Now, again, maybe the young people don't comprehend this quite as much as they will later, when life starts to beat you up a little bit and you start to question things like, why am I here? What is this really all about? How am I supposed to live? You will want, believe me, you will want rest for your soul. Because sometimes that's the only rest you might have in this life. There might be wearying times ahead of you. There are times of labor and work and trouble and heartache ahead of you. And there are good times too. I don't mean to be a naysayer or doomsayer, but there are times when all you have is rest for your soul, and you need that in the here and now, not only in eternity. And then in verse 30, he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It always amazes me when I hear brethren say it's difficult to follow Jesus. It's just the opposite of what he just said. He said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. I think when we think that it's difficult to follow Jesus, we don't know God. That's what I think. We just don't know God. And we're not in tune with who he is and what he does for us and the rest that he gives us and the guidance that he gives us through wearing the yoke of Jesus. We're not in tune with that enough at all. We think life is so difficult, or that it, in other words, it is difficult, but how do we think about it? Do we have rest for our souls? Is his yoke really easy for us? Do we find coming to services an easy thing, or is it difficult? Do we find living our lives in obedience to Jesus a difficult thing, or is it an easy thing? Do we find spiritual things difficult, or are they easy for us? Do we find following his guidance through his word difficult, or is it easy for us? Jesus said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And we have rest for our souls in the here and now. That's the theme of our gospel meeting that's coming up on November 11th, Friday night, November 11th. The theme is that Jesus' yoke is easy. And, of course, you can take that in any number of different directions, that theme, because it encompasses all that Jesus guides us and leads us in. But what we're going to talk about on Friday night is the deep contentment that we have in Jesus. Because that's what we all want. Call it peace, if you'd like. Contentment in this life. Do you know that most people are not content in this life? They're yearning for something more. They're striving and working towards goals that they can't seem to achieve. They're worrying and fearing a lot of times. They're anxious. They don't want to let on. Really, we all like to keep a good facade. You know, we all want to be happy and presenting ourselves that way. But inside, a lot of times, people are in great turmoil and they're not content and they're not at peace. I remember some times in my life before I became a Christian where I was so anxious, so, I guess you'd say, discontented, and so unsure about what I was supposed to be doing. that I even pondered the idea of taking my own life. That's not very peaceful, is it? And I would suggest to you that I'm not saying that a lot of people out there get to those points, but maybe they do. But regardless of whether they get to that point or not in their life, there's a lot of anxiety and a lot of a lack of peace and rest for our souls in the world all around us. And Jesus' yoke is easy. By the way, that word easy, it's from the root word for kindness. And so you could read that Jesus' yoke is kind. And I believe that's true. That's the idea of being easy. It's kind. Letting Jesus lead you and guide you through life is kindness, because it produces so much benefit to us in this world, and it provides rest for our souls in eternity as well, where there is no pain and no suffering and no fears, no death. We got to get there, brethren. We got to get to the end. We got to make it one day at a time, all the way to the end. And when we get to the end, in faith, trusting, then we're welcomed. Well done, good and faithful servant. So we got to let Jesus' yoke, we got to wear it. We got to let it guide us and lead us, because it provides rest for our souls and it makes our way easy in this life and our burden light. So please, when you think Christianity or religion or church or whatever, or following the Lord is difficult, please recognize your thinking is not right on that. And recognize where that's coming from. You don't know God well enough. Get into the Word and get into Jesus and see what He teaches and how He guides us into the peace and rest that we need for our souls. So before we leave this morning, I want to just give an overview of some things I thought of in regard to Jesus' yoke being easy. We're going to talk on Saturday about the profound joy we have in Jesus. And on Sunday, I've left Sunday morning class open. I'll figure out what to do on that based on how I feel about the meeting and where we're going with it. But Sunday morning for the worship service, we're going to talk about the absolute trust that we have in Jesus, in God. But here's some things I want you to think about before we leave this morning. How is Jesus' yoke easy? Well, let's talk about this for a second. Let's talk about trust for a moment. Not a lot of people in this world that I trust, because people are generally untrustworthy. I trust my brethren. I trust God, though, because God never lies. He's always faithful. And Jesus reveals the Father to us, and He's one in whom we can place our absolute trust and hope. Now, I want you to think about Noah for a moment. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. The writer says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." I like to translate the word faith as trust. It helps me. You may not like to translate it that way, but for me, I like to hear the word trust whenever I see the word faith. Because faith, sometimes people, you know, they misunderstand what it is. Sometimes they think that, well, you just have faith. It's kind of a leap. And you're not really sure why you believe it so much. You just believe it. That's not at all what faith is in the Bible. Faith is trust in someone whom you know, God. And so Jesus reveals the Father to us. We can know Him and we can trust Him. And so without trust, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I trust God that if I will diligently seek Him, He will reward me. Then he goes on to say in verse 7, By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By trust. By trust. So God tells Noah, build this boat. There's been no rain. There's going to be a great flood, and I need to build a boat that'll hold me up in the flood. There hasn't even been any rain yet. I don't know if you knew that or not, but rain didn't even come to this world until after the flood. And so Noah, by trust, for 100 years, builds this ark, trusting God the whole time, preaching to the world, you need to repent and turn to God, and no one listened to him. For 100 years, this man acted by faith, by trust in God, because he knew who God was. I can't imagine a life like that. You know, and I complain about my life sometimes. Ridiculous. You keep going on in Hebrews 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By trust. He trusted God and he did what God told him to do, even though he didn't really know where it was going to take him. Sound familiar? That's your conversion. When you're truly converted to the Lord, you just put yourself in the hands of God and you say, wherever you lead me, Lord, I don't know where it's going to be, but I'm with you. And that gives you rest for your soul. You trust in the Creator, in God. But you got to know Him. You got to know Him in order to trust Him. So you got to get into your Bibles, folks. You got to get into the Old Testament stories. You got to get into all the prophecies and all the exhortations in the Psalms that David gives us. You got to read your Bibles. You got to come to know God. And then you'll trust Him and it will give rest for your soul. And when you do have to deal with difficulties in life, you'll be at peace and you won't be anxious or fearful because you're trusting in one who is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. In Hebrews 12 and verses 1 and 2, the writer of Hebrews says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. A lot of stuff in there. But go back to the sin which so easily ensnares us. Put it aside. Set it aside. Get rid of it. Why? Because it entangles us and keeps us from running that race of faith and trust in God. I guarantee you that if you're caught up in sin and you haven't put it away, that you don't trust God. And you don't have rest for your soul, and your way is not easy. I guarantee it. And that's the way of the world. That's the way it is. It was for me. Probably you can remember back to your conversion. That's the way it was for you. You've got to trust God and you've got to know God and you've got to put aside that sin because you trust Him and you want to obey Him. And then notice how he says, let us run with endurance that race that is set before us. I don't know how many of you run the long distance races, but I've run some long distances and it just finally you get into that zone and you can make it. In the beginning, though, you're laboring, but you get into that zone and you run that race with endurance and you get all the way to the end. And that's the way it is when you know God. When you truly know God, you get in the zone. And it's easy. And it produces contentment and joy and peace and all the things that your soul wants. Because you're in the zone. You're running in with endurance. You know where you're going. And you trust Him. Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith, trust is the substance. It's the meat. It's the reality of things hoped for. You just know it. You believe it. You trust it. You know it. And it's substance. You hold on to it. It's the evidence of things not seen. I live by faith and present to the world, like Noah did, the evidence of things not seen. I believe it. I live it. And I'm just saying we all are in that eye. I believe it. I live it. And I present to the world the evidence of things not seen. Let me move on. We'll talk about this on Friday night when we talk about the profound joy on Saturday night, actually, and the deep contentment on Friday night. We'll talk about those things. But the reason why we have contentment and love and joy is because, and listen carefully to this, it's because we're letting God train us how to think. Coming to know God means that you are retrained in your mind to think certain ways. And again, you young people, you're going to mature. You're going to mature in God. You're going to come to know Him better and better and better. And as you come to know God better and better and better through the Word of God, you're going to think about things in different ways than you would have otherwise. And the way you're going to think about things is going to produce within you a deep contentment and a profound joy and a great love. And you're going to change. You're going to change into different people, and you're going to keep growing and growing in love and contentment and joy. Why? Because you're thinking. You're thinking like God. You're letting God direct your thoughts. You're wearing Jesus' yoke, and it's a very kind and easy yoke. And now you're learning to love, and your marriage is better. And your children grow up better, so to speak. And your relationships with everybody in general are better. And when you go to bed at night, you rest peacefully. And when you spend time with your brethren and you sing together, you have joy. It's not a hard way. It's not difficult to be spiritual. It's rest for the soul. It's an easy, kind life that Jesus gives us if we'll wear His yoke. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. We won't spend time on this, but I want to read it at least. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. His yoke is easy, and His burden is light. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who suffer persecution for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The way of God is easy. The yoke of Christ is easy. And there's our final point for this morning. Just getting back to where we kind of started with this, which is, it's not difficult. It's easy to serve God. It's easy because His kindness and love for us is so great that we want to please Him. That's what makes it easy. So I'm going to say to you that if it's hard for you to come to services, it's because you don't know God well enough. If you knew God better, your heart would be filled with a desire to please Him. He commands us to come to services, to assemble together. He commands it. It's not optional. And it's not hard. It's the easiest thing in the world when your heart is filled with desire. Because God loves you so much that all you want to do is please Him and serve Him. That's what makes you a servant. That's what makes you think about your brethren. That's what makes you want to come here and encourage each other. That's what makes you want to worship God. It's from the heart. Everything is from the heart because we know God and we want to please Him because we love Him. 1 John 5 and verse 3, John says that loving God is keeping His commandments. And then he goes on to say, His commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are not burdensome. They may appear to be to some people who don't know God. But when you know God, you want to do whatever God would have you to do because you want to please Him. So that's our lesson this morning. And we'll deal more with these kinds of subjects in our gospel meeting starting on Friday night at 11. That's the postcard, by the way, that I showed you earlier that we were mailing out to a lot of folks in the area. There are about 1,000 people who have moved in recently. And then we've got it posted on Facebook as well. And if you're on Facebook and you want to share that post, I don't know if I even did that right. I'll get it back to Jesus on my Facebook group and figure out how to do that. But if you want to share that post, please do. And let all your friends know that our gospel meeting is coming up on the 11th, Friday the 11th. If there's anyone here this morning who wants to obey the gospel of Christ, you have an audience that is very eager to rejoice with you in that. God is waiting for you. He's been calling you. He wants you to come. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest for your souls. Jesus died for our sins, and we can have those sins removed in baptism for the remission of our sins. As we confess them, based upon our repentant belief in Him, you're subject to the Lord's invitation.